On their travels they were protected because Sotoke Unangwai was with them. This time their new location was at Novokayataka, Chavez Pass A Butte with snow belt on. Here again they lived very prosperously. But knowing that this was not to be their destination, they moved on up to Homolovi, east bank of the Little Colorado River, near Winslow. There they were divided into many groups and established their villages here and there. Their life here was miserable on account of many mosquitoes. These insects caused deaths, especially to the young children, so they moved on. Still looking for Sotoke, going through the country that is called the Makwi Buttes. On to Pakayakomo, Water Dust Hill, which is within a few miles of the present Hopi towns, around the 1st and 2nd Mesa District. 92. Southeast of them was Awatavai, which was a good-sized town but was now in ruins. From this place, Pakayakomo, they sent the scouts back to find the rest of the people who also had left the Homolovi district. It was thought that they might have gone in other directions, and sure enough they were found in many different places in small groups. These scouts were sent back to tell them that the chief and his group were now in sight of Sotoke, Walpi, so Chief Tawahongva was calling all his people together. Finally, most of them came on, but some of them had already gone to Sioki Zuni. Tawahongva then sent his messengers to the chiefs of all the different towns asking for permission to be admitted into their villages and to become a part of their people. So to each town a message went, to Walpi, Mishongnovi, Shungpovi and Awatavai. When the messengers came back with the news, none of the replies were satisfactory, and they all felt sad and realized that they were in a very difficult position, being as they were in somebody else's territory. The only thing to do now was to divide themselves equally into groups and go to these towns and try to enter, so then each group had to select their leader or spokesman. In each group was an equal number of each clan, as the corn, cloud, tobacco, eagle, sunforid, sand and bamboo clans. With the group which went to Shungpovi, Nasawam, brother and sister Tawahongva and Ta'i Isnima, and also Kokoi Laftiyo and his grandmother went. Each group was now hoping for the best, so they camped within a short distance of these towns and then asked for mercy and to be permitted to enter in and become their people, but the answers from the chiefs were of no satisfaction. For being the limit of time to do anything or to ask for anything, these people were very much troubled and discouraged on the third day of their request at all these places. The chief at Shungpovi did not know that he was discarding the best of these groups who were coming to his people, the two Nasawam who had the wisdom and knowledge of Sotoke Unangwai and also Keochoi Laftiyo and his wise old grandmother. Here at Shungpovi each clan was admitted in, one after another. The Sunforid clan was the last to enter. On this last day Nasawam were more than discouraged. They had given up all hope, and said that they would stay just where they were, and they refused to enter into the town. But Kokoi Laftiyo and his grandmother went in with the rest. 93. In a few days Nasawam had disappeared and no one knew where they had gone. At Mishongnovi and over at Awatavai these people had less trouble of being permitted to enter. But at Walpi they had received the same kind of treatment, or even worse than at Shungpovi, so it was hopeless to try again, and they decided to move on to Siatuka, Onion Point. By this time, old man Masawa got anxious and excited, so he rushed up to the town to see the people who had taken his name for their clan. He told them that these people whom the chief of Walpi had refused were religious and were honest in their ceremony, and that it would bring rain. Said he, "You must not forget and must remember that I am the one that owns this whole territory. The chief here has no more right than just of his town. I am the man that has all the right to say what I think, so hereafter, whoever comes shall enter and stay. With compassionate feelings in my heart I ask for two of your good runners to rush down there and head them off. They are leaving right now. When these two runners reached them at Tawapa, Sun Spring, their scouts had already gone ahead. Tawahongva and his people had destroyed all the crops of the Walpies because their people had received such disagreeable treatment from the chief. While all this was going on, it was clouding up very heavily overhead and the people had divided themselves, all the women folk on one side and the men on the other. The women had formed in a circle and were singing and dancing the basket dance, and while this was going on the storm clouds had gathered so heavily that the day was growing very dark and cold, and then it started snowing and it kept coming on heavier and heavier. All through the storm and the dancing the two Masawa clansmen had pleaded earnestly with Tawahongva and his people, telling them that this chief who had refused them was only a sub-chief under Masawu. "To make you understand," said the two men, "we are telling you all, Masawu has all the right here, and it is his earnest message of sympathy that we have brought to ask you to come and live with us. We trust and worship him. What the chief has done unto you by this, he has only hurt himself and lost his self-respect. So trust that we, with all our hearts, are telling you the truth and asking you all earnestly to come with us." "Well," said Tawahongva, "will it be that you will consider and respect us as you do yourselves as a people? Otherwise we will not turn back to go with you. My scouts have already gone." 94. "We honestly and truly say that you will have the same right as we have, so over what land your scouts have trotted, this is given unto you. It is yours forever." During all these pleadings the dancing by the women was kept up, and the snow by this time had fallen over a foot deep. At last Tawahongva consented for all his people to return to Walpi or Situki, and all at once the snowstorm turned into rain, a real cloudburst which washed away the snow in a very short while, and now the waters were rushing down off the hillsides from the Walpi Mesa. All this water had drained down into the flats, and that made nice fertile farming land for the people. Now from that day on to this day, the descendants, generation after generation, of these people from Palatkapi have been living here at these different Hopi villages. But Situki is no more. This Situki was where the present Walpi is now situated. There used to be a big sand dune covering this whole mesa, and the butte that you see there today was covered, heaped up with sand, and every summer it would be covered with flowers of many different varieties. Later all this sand was drifted away off this mesa, by strong winds, and these sand dunes are now away over above Wapo Spring and are still slowly drifting on. 95. Yapancha, the wind god. Many years ago the Hopi were very much troubled by the wind. It blew and blew all the time. The sand drifted away from their fields, and they tried to plant their crops, but the wind would sweep the soil away before the seeds would even start to germinate. Sadness and worry were upon everybody, and they made prayer offerings of many payos, but there were no results. Many councils were held by the old men in the kivas, where they smoked their pipes earnestly and asked one another why it was that their gods should turn such strong wind upon them. And after a while, they decided that they would ask the little fellows, the two little war gods Pookonghoya and Paelongahoya, his younger brother, to help them. Now these little fellows were called in. When they came in they wanted to know why they were called. The Hopi said that they needed their help. Something must be done to the wind. The little fellows said yes, they would see what they could do to help the people. They told the men to stay in the kiva and make many payos. Then the little fellows went to their wise old grandmother, the spider woman, and they asked her to make some sweet cornmeal mush for them to take along on a journey. Of course they knew who Yupancha, the wind god, was and where he lived over. Near the Sunset Mountain in the big cracks in the black rock. When the cornmeal mush was made they came back to the kiva and found the payos were ready and also the ball which they always liked to take along to play. With wherever they went, and the bows and arrows had been made for them. Because it was much like going on the war path for them. So the arrows were of bluebird feathers which were considered most powerful in those days. The two little fellows set out toward the San Francisco peaks. The old men went with them as far as the little Colorado River and there they sat down and smoked their pipes. The little warriors went on and on, playing with their ball. They reached the home of the wind god, Yupancha, on the fourth day. The wind god lived at the foot of Sunset Crater in a great crack in the black rock, through which he is ever breathing and does so to this day. They threw the payos into the crack and hurriedly took out their old grandmother's sticky cornmeal mush, and they sealed up Yupancha's door with it. Now he was awfully angry, and he blew and blew, but he could not get out.